This is Senator Al Simpson. George Bush is showing us some true skill in arms control negotiations, and the Soviets are paying close attention. Is Ted Kennedy watching, too? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, much to the surprise of some of your liberal armchair arms experts, the Soviets have responded quite genuinely to proposals by President Bush for trial monitoring of weapons systems before a strategic arms treaty is signed. A START agreement is surely in the best interest of both countries, and we're working on that. But trial monitoring during the development period will help us to avoid possible costly misunderstandings. Yet the Soviets say they can't accept our continued research and development of SDI as part of the U.S. proposal. But here the president has to stand firm. Our efforts to develop a strategic defense system have played the major role in getting us to a stable position in this bargaining process. We just can't give it all up now, Ted. You likely disagree, huh?
Al, the Soviets' problem is not with Star Wars research and development. What they won't accept is Star Wars testing that violates the ABM Treaty, and neither should Congress. The Bush administration raised eyebrows when it proposed to start verification procedures before agreements are signed. The positive Soviet response has diffused the issue for now. Nevertheless, Al, the administration's commitment to arms control is in doubt. Don't forget those painful delays while the administration cozy up to the right wing. Gorbachev's new policy of glasnost paid another dividend the other day. The Soviets permitted U.S. congressmen and scientists to visit a super-secret installation. The report that came back proves that for years, the Pentagon wildly inflated a minor facility into a major Soviet threat in order to get billions more dollars for Star Wars. The jig's up, Al. It's time to go slower on Star Wars and faster on arms control. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on round two of the minimum wage. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is Senator Al Simpson finally ready to support a fair minimum wage? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the confrontation between Congress and the administration over the minimum wage has gone on too long. The real victims are low-income Americans who work for a living and still live in poverty. The minimum wage hasn't gone up 1 cent in 8 years, but inflation has gone up 40%. The main bone of contention is the president's demand of no increase for workers the first 6 months on the job. That's unfair, Al. It's a devious way to deny millions of working poor an increase they deserve. The administration pretends it's a training wage, but that's nonsense. No training's required. Employers could fire workers every 6 months. According to the administration's own experts, minimum wage jobs require no more than 1 or 2 months' training at most, not 6 months. Democrats support an honest training wage. Can't you see the light, Al? If you can, there's a good chance the White House will see it, too.
The White House did see the light, Ted. But then you and your stubborn liberal pals snuffed it out. Damn shame. President Bush offered a reasonable proposal to raise the minimum wage to $4.25 per hour. That was fair, to workers and business. But your obsessive quest for a wage of $4.55 isn't fair to either one. It's too steep. It won't help low-income Americans. It will destroy jobs, assure higher prices, and make their situation ever more desperate. Ted, the training wage is a true beacon of light to those looking for a first job. It assures that employers can afford to hire and train people who have no relevant workplace experience. Without it, the investment in them costs too much. You have a real chance here, Ted. Drop the crafted hysteria on this one. Instead of trying to be only a friend of the worker at the expense of small businesses, why not join me in doing something that helps them both? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Bill Bennett and his drug czar team are going right to the heart of the problem. They plan to severely punish drug users and abusers as part of the 1989 national strategy. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, Bill Bennett is right on target with his plan to punish drug users and buyers. They have to know in no uncertain terms if they're going to play, they're going to pay. The aim is to snuff out demand. The white-collar users will be punished right along with the junk addicts. Buyers will spend weekends in jail. Their maximum fines will be increased from $1,000 to $10,000. Their cars and certain property will be seized and sold, with the profits used to pay to fix up the run-down and drug-infested neighborhoods where they made their buys. And they'll also be ordered to perform community service in those very same neighborhoods. That's tough medicine, Ted, and that's what really works. Drug users have to know we mean business. I do support tough punishment. Are you going to help us send the strong message to these duds?
Al, I'm all for getting tough on drugs, but you left out one thing, resources to do the job. When Congress declared war on drugs in 1988, we passed comprehensive legislation to fight it on all fronts. But as soon as the election was over, Republicans bailed out. You refused to join us in appropriating funds to fight the war effectively. Just last month, Democrats in the House of Representatives tried again to add urgently needed funds for the FBI, more federal prosecutors, and more prisons. But President Bush just said no. He threatened to veto any increase, and House Republicans killed it. One other point, Al. Law enforcement can't do the job alone. We need to wage the battle on two other fronts, education, to prevent drug use before it starts, and treatment for those trying to end their addiction. You can't just talk tough, Al. We can't fight the war on drugs if all you want is to fight it on the cheap. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration has banned foreign-made assault rifles. Why not those made in the USA? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration imposed a far-reaching ban the other day on 43 different types of imported assault rifles, like the one used in the schoolyard killings earlier this year in Stockton, California. According to the administration, these Rambo rifles have no sporting purpose and can't be brought into the United States. The problem, Al, is that the drug dealers, street gangs, and other criminals can still buy those weapons right off the shelf because the administration refuses to apply the prohibition to assault rifles made in the USA. That's a deadly double standard, Al. It risks the lives of police officers on the beat and makes streets and neighborhoods across the country far more dangerous. Banning foreign imports doesn't do much good if U.S. gun makers are free to pick up the slack. Stand up to the NRA, Al. Ban all assault rifles. No ifs, ands, or gun buts.
There you go, Ted. If banning all assault rifles is what you want, then you need to stand up to Congress, not the NRA. The Bush administration, by its action, has done exactly what it's authorized to do under the current law, the Gun Control Act of 1968. The law doesn't even allow the government to deal with production on the domestic side. And there's more. The administration temporarily banned these guns last spring while it did a comprehensive 3-month study of the situation. The results clearly show that criminals are right back out there on the street committing these crimes and using foreign-made weapons. Penalties have to be tougher. We all pray that the scene in Stockton is not repeated, Ted, but let's do it the right way. Let's send a tough, crystal-clear message to lock these habitual thugs up for good or give them the deep six. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the cleanup of the Pentagon procurement mess. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. My old pal Defense Secretary Dick Cheney is coming head-on at the Pentagon's procurement mess, and he's saving us money while he's at it. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, Dick Cheney is moving with real skill and conviction to clean up the waste, mismanagement, and fraud in the Pentagon's weapons-buying systems. He wants to eliminate those bloated functions of the massive bureaucracy that just don't add any clear value to our defense efforts. His plan to streamline procurement will save the taxpayers $30 billion over the next 5 years. I know that's a hard one for you to believe, Ted. You make your legislative living by creating program after program, but none of them ever saves any money. Ted, Cheney will cut unneeded jobs that duplicate services, and he can get rid of repetitive regs. He says these new controls will go well beyond any previously set forth by the Defense Department or the Congress. I believe him. I believe he will produce. You believe him too, don't you, Ted?
Al, I respect Dick Cheney, but he certainly got his hands full with the ambitious proposal to save big bucks by taming the Pentagon. Secretary Cheney calls his proposal a blueprint, but it's more like a wish list. Congress's Armed Services Committees are skeptical, saying, "What else is new? We've heard those promises before. The intentions sound good, but let's see the fine print." What's clear, Al, is that the freewheeling, big-spending days of Weinberger and Roses are over. The Pentagon has to tighten its belt, too, and that's a major incentive to help management reform succeed. We need the same reassessment of the Pentagon's priorities. That means spending less on budget-busting turkeys like Star Wars and other gold-plated weapons and more on conventional forces. Congress will do all it can, Al, to help the Pentagon's trains run on time. But let's also do more to see that those trains run in the right direction, not the right wing direction. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Can Senator Al Simpson justify the B-2 bomber and its expensive price tag? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Al, I know you never met a weapon systems you didn't like, but even you must have suffered a case of sticker shock when you saw the newly declassified price tag on the B-2 bomber in the defense budget. The Pentagon wants to build 132 of these nuclear war bombers in the next few years at a price of over $500 million a plane, for a total cost in the range of $70 billion, and that's assuming no cost overruns. The B-2 became a big part of the Weinberger wish list in the early Reagan years, when money was no object. The Cold War was heating up, and the Pentagon planners had a blank check. But those days are over. The bills are coming due, and the taxpayers are left holding the B-2. Even some of your hardline Republican colleagues are having second thoughts, Al. Isn't it time you did a little reassessing, too?
Ted, we have to ensure that we have a strong strategic triad into the next century. That is our three-legged defense: land-based nuclear missiles, manned bombers, and nuclear submarines. Sure, the B-1 bomber will be in service through the 90s, but what then? We will need a deep, penetrating bomber to keep our forces diverse and preserve deterrence. We have to plan for the future. We just can't toss in the towel and turn our backs now. There are many good things that can come from our production of the B-2. The technological spin-offs will be remarkable. By making the finest state-of-the-art hardware, we will continue to make progress for peace at the bargaining table. And isn't that really what we all want anyway? The sticker tag is big, Ted. Believe me, I'm concerned with that too. But what our adversaries could stick at us makes the purchase worth every penny. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the recent Supreme Court ruling limiting abortion. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. I see a very divisive trend underway with the recent Supreme Court ruling limiting the legal performing of abortions. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the Supreme Court has given back to the states the right to individually determine the legality of abortion. Several have already limited the procedure, and more are working toward that. This is such a very personal, private, and contentious issue. A deep division exists in our society, with people believing in and fighting for their side with true passion and unalloyed conviction. Personally, I don't support the idea of abortion on demand and never will, Ted, but I do sincerely believe that a woman, rich or poor, should be free to choose the procedure in the first trimester of pregnancy if carrying it to full term would injure her mental or physical health. The Supreme Court has placed in jeopardy a woman's own right to make this deeply personal, moral, and religious decision. I can't support the ruling. Where do you stand on this tough one, Ted?
Al, I give you real credit today. That's a courageous stand, especially when so many of your Republican colleagues from the White House on down are raising a hue and cry for new anti-abortion legislation by the states in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision. In fact, as I recall, Al, you said much the same thing a year ago when you were on everybody's list of potential vice presidents for George Bush on the eve of the 1988 Republican convention. You correctly predicted he'd never pick you because you flunked the right-wing's litmus test on abortion. At least I'm with you on this issue, Al. Abortion is a highly personal decision that should be made by a woman and her doctor without interference from the government. Big Brother should stay out of people's private lives. By cutting back on Roe against Wade, the Supreme Court made a serious mistake. They've undermined the Constitution's protection of women in our society, and that isn't fair. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the President's surprising retreat on clean air. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A funny thing happened to President Bush's clean air plan. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush got high marks in the 1988 campaign for his dramatic pledge to become the environmental president. He got even higher marks last June when he disclosed the broad principles of a clean air plan that seemed to deliver on the promise. But a funny thing happened as those sound principles were being turned into detailed specifications. The president's clean air plan began to sprout polluters loopholes. Strict standards for automobile exhaust would be relaxed. Tough rules to curb urban smog would be weakened. Now an industry coalition misleadingly named the Clean Air Group, is bitterly complaining that even the current watered-down proposals go too far and cost too much. That's hogwash. Clean air is clean air is clean air. Tell the president to stick to his guns, Al. Does he want to be the environmental president or the environmental loophole president?
Lord's sake, there you go again, Ted, pandering to those purists, the extreme environmental groups that don't know the meaning of the word compromise. Congress would never accomplish one lick of stuff if we all badmouthed the tough programs like this one before they even got off the ground. These groups make phony comments about the president's clean air bill when he hadn't even finished writing it. It's the old story of the kid crying, "Wolf, wolf." It is these same extreme environmental groups and extreme members of the business community that have caused us a legislative gridlock on clean air for the last 10 years. Come on, Ted, cheer up and get behind the president's bill. It would cut acid rain emissions by 50%. Sure, it's a compromise, but that's the only way we're ever going to really do anything positive. So ease up on that rigid stance, Ted. You're scowling. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on new Senate pressure against China. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Senate has voted to ratchet up the pressure a notch against China as we closely observe the situation there. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, George Bush has done a steady, sensitive, and skillful job of handling U.S. foreign policy in China. His efforts thus far have been prudent and thoughtful, but the images we see in China, the brutal violence inflicted on the peaceful student demonstrators, and the executions in the aftermath continue to sadden, infuriate, and repulse us all. Now we need to sharpen our efforts in support of democracy and against this brutal activity. The Senate initiative endorses conditions imposed by the president, calls for a broad review of all bilateral trade agreements between the U.S. and China, and for a review of China's most favored nation's trading status. It's a new, tougher message, Ted. That's what China has to hear. We don't have to tolerate these horrid civil rights abuses. You surely finally agree with me on that one, don't you, Ted?
Al, the world was appalled by the brutal massacre of the innocent Chinese students in Tiananmen Square. Since then, we've continued to be appalled by the mass arrests, the kangaroo court executions of student leaders, the reign of terror still taking place, and the ongoing intimidation of students and workers in the pro-democracy movement. The country want the president to do more. The initial sanctions were too weak in the first place. Now they become only a slap on the wrist in the face of continuing repression. By overwhelming votes, Congress has called for additional action, including stronger economic sanctions by the United States and worldwide cooperation with our allies to apply greater economic and diplomatic pressure. The administration grudgingly said that they would live with our action. In fact, they should welcome it. It's time to put our country where we ought to be, squarely on the side of the students in China. It may be their fight, Al, but it's our fight, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on military child care. Will the Pentagon catch up to the 20th century? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The military families need help with child care. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you've been your usual 19th-century self, opposing child care for working families, so you'll probably find it hard to accept today's idea, child care for military families. The same problems facing parents in the civilian workforce also face members of the armed forces. Napoleon said that an army marches on its stomach, but today's army marches on child care, too, and the Pentagon needs to do more if it hopes to keep military parents satisfied with military careers. The Pentagon operates child care centers, but the demand far outstrips the supply. There's no excuse for a situation that leaves tens of thousands of military children on waiting lists. The annual defense bill is moving through Congress. Representative Beverly Byron of Maryland has taken the lead in the House by doubling the Pentagon's current meager budget for child care. Are you marching with me on this issue in the Senate, Al, or are you still in Napoleon's century?
Well, Napoleon didn't get too far on his stomach, Ted. No, I'm not marching with you. I left you behind long ago, bogged down at your Waterloo by all those goofy federal programs you love to heap on the backs of taxpayers. It's the same old thing with the military child care. That Democrat bill creates a whole new and a costly system of programs and regulations, undercutting and disrupting things already underway at DOD. The Pentagon well knows it needs more child care and is doing something about it. DOD is revising programs, redirecting existing funds to increase care capacity, and it's also investigating other options before more bucks are required. Darn lucky for America, Ted. Not everybody yet marches to your steady drumbeat of always more, more, more. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on efforts to constitutionally protect the American flag. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Constitution has been amended only 26 times in over two centuries. Now I feel we must do it again to protect Old Glory herself. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, George Bush is so right to suggest we take on the awesome task of amending the Constitution. His words are simple and precise. The Congress and the states shall have the power to prohibit the physical desecration of the flag of the United States. There's nothing flowery about that, Ted. Desecration of the American flag is deplorable and should be punishable by law. Thousands of Americans have died fighting for that flag. We owe it to them. We owe it to their legacy. I hold the First Amendment and our precious rights of freedom of speech and expression in the highest regard. Yet we can protect those special rights while we give equal protection to our national symbol. Our flag deserves to be protected by the U.S. Constitution, Ted. The President has a good one here. I'm behind him. Where stand you, Ted?
Cut it out, Al. The White House didn't dream up that scheme for a constitutional amendment on the flag. Lee Atwater did. It's bad enough to stoop to playing partisan politics with a flag in a presidential election, but it's even worse to play partisan politics with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. How can you keep a straight face, Al, and say that the time has finally come, after 200 years, to enact a constitutional amendment to undermine the Bill of Rights? Freedom of speech is there to protect us all, the views we like, the views we hate. That's what America is all about. The Bill of Rights is the cornerstone of the Constitution, Al, and you want to open up the first loophole ever in the First Amendment? By now, even you ought to have second thoughts about a constitutional amendment. The rest of the country is. Shame on you, Al. You can't prevent desecration of the flag by desecrating the Constitution. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress closed the capital gains tax loophole for the rich in 1986. Does Senator Al Simpson want to open it again? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, nothing more clearly demonstrates the Bush administration's government of the rich, by the rich, for the rich mentality than its current push to reduce the tax on capital gains. Congress closed the capital gains loophole in the Tax Reform Act of 1986. In the long history of tax reform, few reforms have been more important in achieving fairness in the tax laws. For years, wealthy individuals have been ripping off the Treasury because of the loophole at a cost of billions of dollars a year. Closing the loophole in 1986 was the key reform that made it possible to lower tax rates for millions of average taxpayers. Now, President Bush is pushing Congress to reopen the capital gains boondoggle. It's a windfall worth $30,000 a year to people with incomes over $200,000, and it has no place in our tax laws, Al.
No place in our tax laws? What about getting $5 billion more in revenues? That's how much the Treasury estimates restoration would bring into the U.S. bank account. Yes, it is true that a capital gains tax cut will help people make money who are already doing so. But what do you think they do with it? Rat hole it? No, they invest it. They invest it in new buildings that employ builders, carpenters, concrete workers, and plumbers. They invest it in inner city development and restoration projects that provide better housing and strengthen cities. Those are good things, Ted. We want to encourage people to invest in America, not discourage them by overtaxing them on money earned. Bush for the rich. Bah. He campaigned on it, kept his promise. But ah me, I'm arguing with a man whose Democrat Party gave a great state a not-so-great nickname, Taxachusetts. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the nomination of Bill Lucas to head up the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is rewarding campaign contributors with plums they don't deserve and aren't qualified for, ambassadorships to foreign nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, both Republican and Democratic administrations in the past have engaged in the dubious practice of rewarding key campaign contributors with the choice foreign policy appointments as ambassadors to other nations. But in the Bush administration, the ambassadorial spoil system has sunk to record depths. 2/3 of President Bush's nominees for ambassador have been political appointees, not career Foreign Service diplomats. He's been appointing political ambassadors at twice the rate of previous administrations. In addition, much more than in the past, the Bush nominees lack visible qualifications for the job. All they have is their checkbooks. Tell the White House to shape up, Al. Ambassadors need more on their resumes than a $100,000 contribution to the 1988 Bush presidential campaign.
Wait a second, my friend. Those comments smack of hypocrisy. Your own remarkable father was appointed by President Roosevelt to be ambassador to the Court of St. James, Great Britain. He did not attain his fortune as a career Foreign Service officer. He was a banker, a shrewd investor, and a canny businessman. I use that example, Ted, to portray the complete lack of merit in the argument. I'm sure your father performed admirably in the position, despite the fact that he was a loyal, wealthy Democrat contributor and not a career specialist. Any president is entitled to nominate people he feels are qualified to serve. And if the Senate doesn't think a particular person can handle the job, we just say no. We don't have the power to tell the president who his political appointees will be, Ted. That wasn't good policy in Roosevelt's day, and it sure isn't now. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on controversial funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress is facing some very tough questions in dealing with funding for the NEA. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, our colleagues recently voted to stop the National Endowment for the Arts from awarding grants to two art institutions really under fire for funding artists whose work has been denounced as obscene. And though I agree that the work in these cases is crude and offensive, I don't know that this is the best way to tackle the issue. I deeply believe in the full expression of artistic freedom, but I also feel the taxpayers should have some good say as to where their money goes. The tough task is how to balance up the two without any prior censorship of those freedoms. Ted, I think we can best accomplish that goal by requiring a much more careful, reasonable, and thorough review of the entire grant award process. I don't want to see government censorship of expression in any way, but I sure won't support the taxpayers' funding of obscenity either. The artists and their patrons can pay that bill all by themselves.
Amen, Al. At least you're not willing to join your right-wing colleagues in their search-and-destroy mission to penalize all the arts because of those two controversial grants. Federal aid to the arts has been an unequivocal success. For a quarter of a century, it's encouraged countless artists and helped the arts to flourish in communities across the country. Much of that success is attributable to the so-called peer review system for approving grants. Review is turned over to professionals in the arts community who have the experience and judgment to approve applications for federal funds. Congress set it up that way to minimize political interference. A sensible solution to the present controversy is not to penalize all the arts by slashing funds, but to tighten the review procedures where federal dollars are dispensed to local agencies and then to local artists, as happened here. The last thing we need is for Congress to butt in and become a national board of censors for the arts. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A majority of the Senate voted to close the Iran-Contra loophole, but Senator Al Simpson says, keep it open. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the Senate took an historic vote the other day to prevent future Iran-Contra-type scandals, but you and your right-wing colleagues voted the wrong way. The issue was closing the loophole used by Oliver North in the Reagan years to encourage third parties in foreign countries to funnel military aid to the Contras in Nicaragua at a time when Congress had flatly prohibited such aid from the United States government. A proposal by Senator Pat Moynihan nailed that loophole shut, Al, by imposing stiff criminal penalties for any official who solicits illegal aid or wrongly diverts other funds. Unfortunately, the Senate split along party lines. Democrats voted to close the Iran-Contra loophole, and Republicans voted to keep it open. How can you justify your vote, Al? Isn't one Iran-Contra scandal one too many? When Congress cuts off aid, the White House must obey the law, too.
Ted, you Democrats passed an amendment that seriously interferes with the president's constitutional authority to determine and carry out our foreign policy. Ted, by attempting to always micromanage foreign relations, you willingly trash the separation of powers. Congress surely can limit or eliminate funding for any policies it opposes. Fair. But this goes beyond that. This law would cripple our efforts to carry out foreign policy. Any time a government employee would act to further a policy for which funding has been denied, he faces criminal liability, regardless if his intention is to sneak behind Congress's back or not. Ted, it's all very well for Congress to cut off funding for things we don't like, but it's quite another matter to tie the administration's hands in dealing politically and diplomatically with other nations, a power guaranteed by the Constitution. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.